Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been sharing Jesus ever since. This past week has been a confusing week. We had a blinding snowstorm here in Denver. At 11 o'clock at night, I was getting ready to go to bed, and I started getting terrible heart pains. Well, I've been told you don't lay down when you have a heart attack. So I sat up, and it kept getting worse and worse. So finally, I told my wife, I said, I don't know what to do about this. Well, she said, I'm going to call the hospital. Well, they called the hospital, and bingo, here come an ambulance. And they rushed me to the hospital, and I was in there in the ER for a couple hours. It was an experience. Well, the next day, I had a bunch of stress tests. They don't know what's wrong with me yet. Well, all I know, I'm in God's hands, and that's a good thing to know. Well, listen, I'll be with you for half an hour tonight. Won't you kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Here's the thought for the day. Two marks of a Christian: giving and forgiving. I'd like to talk about the power of a forgiving church. And I read in Acts 1:14. They all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with the brethren. And then I read in Mark 11:25, it says, and when you stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. And the thing that I want to bring up is the fact that the church was it was a united church with one accord. Now that is so important. They were praying together in one place. Whether it is in a house, whether it's in a synagogue, whether it's in a church, whether it's out in a field, if we pray together, believing, God's going to hear it. They were of one heart and soul. Now, Peter had denied Christ three times. This church had many potential problems, of course. Thomas had doubted the resurrection. The women had gone to the tomb to do the work of the undertakers. And love enabled them to forgive and shake the world. That's what we as Christians are supposed to be doing today. Friends, a church is a building. A church cannot save. Only Jesus saves. But there are a lot of denominations that really believe that they're the only church. The Mormons, for one. You have to be baptized in a Mormon church to go to heaven. And other churches, and I hate to say this because I've got some wonderful, wonderful Catholic friends. I mean wonderful Catholic friends. Well, let me tell you what. They believe that church is almighty. They sure do. And they believe that Mary is one of the greatest things in the world. Mary was a sinner just like you and I. She found favor in the Lord, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, she became pregnant with Jesus. Oh, my stars. But they say, Holy Mary, Mother God. You know what? God didn't have a mother. God has always been here from the beginning of time. When is the beginning of time? I don't know. But he has. Now listen here. To restore a brother, forgive him. It's a simple, straightforward plan. Your brother has sinned against you. Now listen to this. Listen to this. If you go to him alone, not telling anyone else, and you talk to him about your problem, you go immediately praying for reconciliation. You lovingly tell your brother that divides you. If he responds, excuse me, you forgive him, and are reconciled to him. If he does not respond, you go to the church in an effort to gain your brother. Now, forgive so that your brother can forgive. Now listen to this. It's a dirty, rotten shame, but years ago, I used to train lay women and lay men in evangelism. I bought a motor home, and I loaded those men and women in that motor home, and we'd take off on a Friday afternoon, and we'd drive all night long to a church. Maybe it's in Texas, maybe it's in Montana, and then we would go, and Saturday morning, we'd have a meeting with the church, and in that church, we discussed evangelism and why we were there. We were not there to tell our pastor how to run his church. We were not there to tell the pastor how to preach, but we were there to train his laymen and go out with him two by two, and we would go with people, potentials, the ones that had visited and never come back to the church, and that's what we did. Well, there was one particular fella. And I still love that guy. My stars, he had so many potentials of being a great Christian. He was a soul winner. He could use the Bible. He was doing well. And then one day, he owned a business. And one day, I called him. And he said, I don't want to talk to you anymore, and hung up on me. Just like that. Bingo. Oh, of course, I thought maybe he was jesting. I couldn't believe, because he's one of my dear brothers. I called him back. He said, I'm not talking to you, and slammed the receiver. So immediately, I sat down and I wrote him a letter. And I explained to him that if I had done something to offend him, I needed to know so that I could work on it. I didn't want him to be my enemy. He would not respond to the letter. And I said, the Bible said, if you have aught against your brother, and you go and you leave your gift at the altar, then you go out and you see this man, and all this and that. Well, so far as of the day, 15 years later, I've never heard from him. And then I heard from another brother that knew him, said, you know, God's not a very good bookkeeper. Because the guy did honestly give good to the church. And one trip we took up in Wyoming to a church for a two-day crusade, the church was struggling financially, and they needed a new furnace. And this dear brother dug down in his pocket and gave him a check and bought a new furnace. He did a lot of wonderful things. Oh, my stars. And it just, I can't believe it. Then he said, God is a poor bookkeeper because he lost his business. Well, no, he didn't lose his business. He sold his business, and he sold it to a crook. And the crook never paid him, and that was it. That's when he turned against God. Oh, my friends, what a shame. What a waste. What a great man that he could be. I still pray for him. Oh, my stars, I just can't understand. The Bible said, forgive so that your prayers are not hindered. Now, can you understand that? And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. Are we perfect? I hope to kiss a pig we're not. But when you stand praying, forgive. I know it's hard to forgive. I told you about my stepmother that used to beat me and abuse me and lock me in the basement in the dark. And I'm telling you, I hated her with a passion, a little old 16-year-old boy. I couldn't understand why she was treating me this way and lying to my dad about me and all these things. But she hated me. Now, all these years, I carried that hate in my heart for my stepmother. I sure did. The morning I went to Tom Baird's church, or to his house, at 3 a.m. in the morning, and I invited Christ in my heart that night, I really, honestly believed that I had totally forgiven her. I really felt that. Well, one night in the middle of the night, I had a terrible dream. Do not know what that dream, I couldn't interpret, I couldn't tell you what the dream was about. But it was horrible, and my stepmother was right in the midst of it. The next morning, I called my sister in California, and I said, Betty, I want Mary's phone number. She said, why would you want her phone number? You two hate each other. I said, I don't know why I have to call her, Betty, but I have to call her. She gave me the number and dialed the phone, and when I started down the phone, my hands started shaking like a leaf. Here I am, a grown man. Why am I afraid? All these memories flooded my soul, and I didn't want to talk to her. Finally, she answered the phone, and she said, hello, some little old lady. And I said, is this you, Mary? Yes. Who is this? I said, Cecil. Cecil Moe? And I knew right then and there she'd never forgiven me, I'll tell you. And I said, Mary, I want to tell you, I'm sorry you and I never got together. I'm so sorry that we hated each other so much. Well, she didn't say she was sorry, but I did. And see, the monkey was on my back. I had to forgive my stepmother. Now, forgiveness is so important. When I go to prison, I tell these men and these women, you have to forgive if you're going to be forgiven. Well, years later, not many years later, I'm going to the Dalles to my, 54, I don't know what year reunion it was. But I know I flew out to Portland, rented a car, and took up the gorge to go to the Dalles. Oh, I was so happy that day. Here I got the chance to see my old classmates and rejoice. And I was so happy. And all of a sudden it come across my heart, are you going to go see Mary? She lived in Duffer, which was just a little ways out of the Dalles. Well, I hadn't planned on it, Lord. Oh, I hadn't planned on it. But I knew I had to go see her. So I drove right through the Dalles, right up the Duffer. And about a block from her home, I started shaking. It was terrible. And I was hoping, oh, maybe she won't be home. Maybe she won't be home. But I went, knocked on the door, and all of a sudden I thump, 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 and it was probably a walker. And here was this little old gray-headed lady bent over with a little walker. I said, is that you, Mary? She used to be a beautiful lady. She said, yes. I said, this is Cecil. And I threw my arms around her and I kissed her. And I said, oh, Mary, you don't know how bad I've felt all these years of hate. But I want you to know there's not a bit of hate in my heart. And did you know, friends, you talk about a burden lifted. Oh, my stars, that burden lifted right off my heart. And we spent an hour visiting, and I tried to reach her for Christ. Now, Mary was a religious person, but she was lost. She didn't know Jesus. And I even called her later, before she died, and tried to reach her for Christ, but I never was able to do it. You see, he said, and when you stand, praying, forgive. Effective prayer is what is vital to any church. The first meeting of the early church was a prayer meeting. When believers agree in prayer, good things are going to happen. We cannot pray effectively unless we forgive. Now, it's obvious that every Christian who tries to pray with unforgiveness in his heart finds a great wall of his sins piled between him and God, which he cannot get removed and cannot get taken out of the way until he forgives all that others have done against him. Let me ask you, someone done something against you in the church? I tell you, the worst thing is when a brother or sister turns against you. Now, I was faced with another dilemma. There was a man in our church who was a song leader. And the piano player had an affair. And the teenagers came to me and told me about it. Well, I got a hold of him and told him, and I told her, this is not right, this is wrong, you're both married and it's sinful. You need to repent. Wow. One day, my pastor called me and said, Cecil, we want to see you in the church office. So I went over there in the church office, and here was this man. And we got into it hot and heavy. Well, I could see that we were making no headway whatsoever. So I said, you know what, brother? We need to kneel here and pray, that ask God to come into this meeting and help us. Well, I got down on my knees to pray. He hauled off and hit me right with his fist right on my head. The Adamic nature jumped up. I jumped up and grabbed him, and I put him around his throat, and I slammed him against the wall. And I said, don't you ever hit me when I'm praying for you. The pastor never said a word. He should have said, oh, this has got to stop. He didn't. He should have intervened. Make a long story short, I left the church. One night about 10 o'clock, there was a knock on my door. And here was this guy. And he said, can I come in and talk to you? I said, sure, come on in. He came in, he said, you and I don't agree on the theology. I said, oh, absolutely not. And I certainly don't agree with your sin. No, I don't. And then he said, well, you know, brother, you and I need to kneel here and pray. We knelt and we prayed and we asked God to forgive us for all of our hard feelings. He got up and we loved each other, hugged each other, and he walked out, and that was that. But you see, we had to forgive each other. That's the important thing. Forgive so you do not grieve the Holy Spirit. And it says in Ephesians 4:30-32, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed under the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Why did the early church have such great power? The members were weak and imperfect people, just like you and I today in the church. The Holy Spirit was a source of their power. Friend, we can't do anything apart from the Holy Spirit. And you say, well, when did I get the Holy Spirit? The day you repented of your sin and invited Christ in, God's Holy Spirit came in. And he's guiding us and directing us. If you would humble yourself and pray and seek his face, God will lead you. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. When do we not forgive? We grieve the Holy Spirit. When we stop grieving the Holy Spirit, his power flows through us. May I have a drink of juice here? Thank you. Oh, I love that stuff. Spirit filled people are not in bondage to malice and anger. Friends, let me tell you what. We can forgive because we have been forgiven. And here's what he said, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us. Who awaits your forgiveness today? Do you have some problems in your heart or with somebody in your church or your family? Do that. Go to them with a humble spirit, not with a chip on your shoulder, and say, you know, I thought this. Did you ever, let me ask you, did you ever get mad at someone and sit down and write the nasty, mean old letter to them? And then you tear it up. Aren't you glad you tore it up? Because deep down in your heart, you didn't hate him. You weren't mad at him. Go to that one, waiting one, and you will not go alone, because God's Holy Spirit will go with you. Yes, the power of a forgiving church. And that's what we need today in our churches. But we need leadership. We need a pastor that will lead you in those things. We need a pastor that will train you, take you by the hand and take you out. And Tom Baird showed me the excitement of soul winning. Had not been for Tom, I probably wouldn't have been nothing today. And I'm nothing now, but I am a soul winner. And I love to tell people about Jesus. Oh my. Let me ask you, are you having problems like that today? Let me ask you, would you like to have that taken care of? You say, Cecil, you know, I'm one of those churchgoers that you talk about, lost and undone without Christ. I do believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and I do believe I'm a sinner. Well, then if you're not saved, you're ready to be saved. You see what I mean? Okay, now here's what we want to do. If you have a tugging at your heart tonight, I want you to consider Jesus. I want you to bow your head to me right now, but do not, please do not pray this prayer if you're not sincere. And here's how it goes. Kind Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. My life has been misspent. Tonight, Lord, your Holy Spirit has tugged my heart, and I want to repent. And I want to invite you in to be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Beloved, if you prayed that prayer, won't you get on the phone? I won't use your name and embarrass you. I won't sit down right and ask you for any money. I don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. My phone number is 303-471-8534. Oh, friend, if you can't afford to call me collect, and I'll accept the charge. Friends, I don't solicit funds. I do not do that. I live on Social Security, but God has supplied our very needs. We've walked by faith all these years. Not that I'm a great faithful man or a great man, but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords took me out of the gutter and put my feet on a solid rock. Give me eternal life. Wrote my name in the Lamb Book of Life. Oh, friends, if you don't understand what I'm talking about, you call me collect. I'll talk to you, okay? God bless you. Well, friends, for the past 25 minutes, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Oh, thank you, dear ones, for listening. Oh, I wished I could take a wand and wave it over your head and all your heartaches, all your discouragements would go away. I can't do that, but I can introduce you to the one who can, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He said, I am the way, the truth, in the life, and no man cometh to the Father except by me. A church can't save you. A preacher can't save you. Only Jesus. Come to him. Cry out to him and tell him that you're a sinner. And the Bible said we've all sinned. So don't feel like you're by yourself. Well, friends, be sure and pray for me and my wife and our health. My eyes are getting real bad, so I got to go to have them take a look at it and see if my diabetes is messing me up. Keep us in your prayers. And until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbor. Stay sweet. Keep looking up. All this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.